This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Julian Council, my man, Panther, Locked On Panthers podcast. Daily, apparently. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of podcasting. I do one after every game, and I think that's a lot. You're a machine, my man. Let's dig into the draft. First of all, Victoria asked me to give a grade, and okay, I gave it a B- because they didn't get an offensive lineman. I would have gone for another wide receiver, and there were opportunities to get what somebody who might turn out to be an elite cornerback, and they passed. How do you look at what the Panthers did overall, top to bottom in the draft?
Shame on you, Adam Gold, for doing draft grades. I mean, come on,
man. That's true. You're right.
Actually, it's funny because, like, Bleacher Report, I do some streams with them a couple times a month, and they asked me yesterday to do draft grades, and I just felt gross doing it because on my podcast, I sat there and railed against them talking about how it's pretty worthless to do those. Mm-hmm. But I understand, hey, man, content, and context is, too, also important. But content, we gotta churn it out this time of year. But for me, I feel like when it comes to, like, evaluating a draft, it's hard to do in the immediacy. You got to kind of wait 3 years down the road. You look at the 2021 draft class the Panthers had. Obviously, J.C. Horn just got a fifth-year option exercise on Friday, which is great for him considering he's missed 29 of the possible 51 games in his career. But aside from him, Tommy Trimble, he's been a contributor. Brady Christensen now appears to be the backup center. And outside of that, that class ended up not being great. So we're not going to find out until 3 years down the road, truly, what these guys are and how this class turned out. But as far as what they needed going into the draft, they checked the box on getting a wide receiver and Xavier Legette, whether that's who you wanted or not. They needed to get a playmaker wide receiver, and they believe they've done that. And they got the fifth-year option to boot. With that, trade up to get Xavier Legette, 32nd overall. They were able to bring in a running back, which I didn't think was a need in the second round, but considering what Dave Canales, the head coach, has said about versatility at that position, it appears they felt like that was certainly a need looking at Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. They got a tight end finally. That's great. So it's an okay draft. We'll find out in the end, 3 years down the road, how good it actually was.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. When going into the draft, were there positions you felt like they needed to address that weren't addressed?
Yeah, the top three I felt like were wide receiver, and they did that. There was really no doubt they were going to get a wide receiver with the first pick that they used, whether it's me at 33, as we saw, I was at 32. Then I felt like center and cornerback were the two positions, and those were not addressed in the way that I wanted them to be. Like center, they're coming out and saying that Austin Corbett, they feel good about him. Okay, cool. He's a veteran. He's been a good player when he's played at guard. We'll see what the transition to center is like for him. He's coming off two knee injuries, and that's the concern there for me. Also, the concern is they don't have a long-term answer at that position, and they don't have a long-term answer at plenty of positions on the roster, which is the point of the draft, trying to find those long-term answers. I don't understand why they weren't willing to get that with the second-round pick. Why not go Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon instead of getting Jonathan Brooks? Now, I do appreciate that they were able to use the Rams' desperation to get a defensive tackle into recouping that second-round pick. That's inarguable that that's a great move for Dan Morgan. Now, the player they end up selecting at 46, we can argue the merits of whether they needed a running back, and they got the top running back. So if you're going to get a running back, get the best one on the board, and the best one on the board consensus-wise was Jonathan Brooks. So they did not get a center. That's what I thought they should do. They did not get an outside starting corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean were two players who were also available there at 39. They did get Chael Smith-Wade, who they talk about as versatile. Going to hear that all day long from Dave Canales, apparently, when it comes to this roster build in Carolina. He is not seen as a starter outside. So they still need a starting outside corner to pair with J.C. Horn, and I would even say Dane Jackson, who has played in that role in Buffalo, but I wouldn't consider him to be the kind of guy you want to go a full 17-game season with as your number two corner.
Yeah, Julian Council is joining us here in the Adam Gold Show, and that's really where I was. I thought the two most important needs were wide receiver and corner going into the draft. There's no great defense that doesn't have at least one lockdown cornerback, and we're just guessing at J.C. Horn at this point because he's been unavailable for more than half of his NFL career. I hope he's in a locked, shutdown corner, and I hope he can stay healthy for once. But they needed somebody on the other side that they just didn't address. And for everything I read about the kid is that they did draft, that he is from, what I think, from Washington State, is that he is a slot corner, which is good. You need a slot corner too. But you could have taken both. Like, you could have taken McKinstry at 46 because he was there, right? Or 39. No, at 39 he was there.
Yeah, he was gone by the time they got back to the board.
And they had to trade back up. They traded back further, and they traded back up to get the running back. I wonder if they thought maybe that some of the corners would fall because there was a run. Because right after Fisk was taken by the Rams, and that trade, by the way, was looked at as the most lopsided in favor of Carolina of any trade that was made. The Rams' desperation to give up essentially two twos for a two is just staggering. They don't care about draft picks, apparently, with the L.A. Rams.
That's, I think it was the first time in like 6 or 8 years they had drafted in the first round. So that just shows you their approach. I'll say this too, Adam. When we're talking about corner, why it's even more important for this team in particular to have solid corners out there on the outside is that their pass rush is terrible. It was last year, even with Brian Burns, and I understand there's some fans who are happy to not have Brian Burns here and rather would have Jadeveon Clowney, who quite honestly has never lived up to potential we saw from him coming out of South Carolina. He's still in the league.
Yeah.
And that you can't call him a bust. He certainly has not been a bust, but he's not been a dominant player like we thought he was going to be. Miles Garrett, another number one pick out of an SEC program, has been a dominant player. Jadeveon Clowney has never been that consistently. At points in time, he has been. Like last year, he certainly was a good player. He's coming off a season where you wonder whether he's going to have the consistency he had last year. DJ Wonnum was playing opposite of Danielle Hunter in Minnesota. I'm sure that helped to get the 8 sacks. This is still not a pass rush. Whether they had Burns or not, that you can, would have considered one of the top in the league. And you consider that the defensive line is also pretty poor. Derrick Brown's a really good player, but outside of him, they didn't have any good defensive linemen that produced last year, and you're not getting any pass rush out of those guys. So you really needed, if you're not going to have a great pass rush, to have two really good corners on the outside and not to try to get one of those guys there in the second round and instead get a running back. And you can't, I guess you can, but you also can't in a way. I see it both sides fault them for wanting to add another playmaker for Bryce Young, a player, Jonathan Brooks, who can be a receiver out of the backfield. It's kind of tough to swallow as a Panther fan, knowing that a corner is something that they needed, but they also have stated Stephon Gilmore. There's still an open line of communication there, and he literally lives down the street from Dan Moore on the same road. You can take him a cup of sugar and a contract and get that thing done this afternoon if they want.
That would certainly answer some of the questions. you just made me laugh with Stephon Gilmore. Were you surprised that, not that they went linebacker in round three, but that the linebacker's name wasn't Peyton Wilson?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I love that someone on Twitter said this to me. It's one of the few things on Twitter that I actually took to heart. If we didn't live in North Carolina and the Panthers were in North Carolina, we probably wouldn't obsess over Peyton Wilson. I think that's true to a certain degree for a lot of people, but he's a hell of a player, man.
Uh-huh.
He's a hell of a player. And like, this is coming from, you know, I'm a North Carolina guy. And Peyton Wilson has been a nightmare for the last couple years. And the game they played in Raleigh back in November was like a Peyton Wilson tribute game, the way that he was out there to play. He was the best defensive player in college football. And I've had people tell me how Trevin Wallace at Kentucky, oh, he's a better player than Peyton Wilson. Well, that's patently false because all these awards were awarded to Peyton Wilson last year, saying he was the best linebacker, in some respects, also the best defensive player in college football last year. Now, Ian Rapoport came out and said that 22 teams share medical information, and they found that he does not have an ACL. And that makes his legend even greater.
Right.
Last year at State, that he's playing with, like, no cartilage in his knee, and he was able to do what he did last season, be a defensive player. Now I also see him as being a one-contract guy. And I feel like that might be a benefit, wouldn't it? Because if you don't have to pay him down the road, you're going to pay him only a rookie wage scale, and he's going to give you, obviously, his soul and his body. That may be something that would make sense. But I guess you can't be that surprised knowing the medical history, and Carolina's probably a team that, I mean, it seems obvious it was a team that was not willing to take their risk on Wilson at 72. Maybe had they been there at 98 like Pittsburgh, they would have been willing to take the risk. I can't say I'm surprised just based off everything that, I mean, you and I know, having been here in the state and watched his career, about his injuries. It can't be too surprised that he didn't get selected by Carolina there.
So this is where I would go, all right, so maybe you were hoping he'd be there later. Your next pick was in the fourth round at 101.
Mm-hmm.
And it was close, right? I mean, it wouldn't have been there, but it was close. I think Cedric Gray from North Carolina was still there if you just wanted to stay local. Now, I'm not saying you should. But they could have taken somebody not named Trevin Wallace. They could have taken another wide receiver or an offensive lineman or, you know, something else, a cornerback that they could have used, as opposed to a linebacker who profiles similarly but not as good as Peyton Wilson. And here's the thing, because you mentioned one contract. Most guys are one contract guys.
That's so true.
I mean, they're all one contract guys. You're running back. What are the odds that Jonathan Brooks signs a second contract with the Carolina Panthers?
Zero, because you should never pay running backs. I like the player, and I debate the pick for sure. Like, I didn't think running back should have been the pick there. I like who they took. But the way I think of it, as far as the philosophy should be, is you use them, you abuse them, then you lose them. Like, you don't keep them around for a second contract. Chuba Hubbard, this should be it for him after the season. Miles Sanders should be it for him. This team, for whatever reason, and this is what bad teams do, Adam, they value the running back position, like, financially. And
right.
We've seen, like, they traded up into the second round. So there can be questions about his ACL and what his role is going to be this year. If he is healthy, he is their starting running back. You do not trade up for
right.
a running back in the second round and not have them be your bell cow. So Chuba, Miles, tough luck. This is the starting running back now in Carolina. That was something that really confuses me. And the linebacker picks, Seth Gray, I'm hearing reports out of Tennessee that he's probably going to get an opportunity to start, so a good situation for him. I like Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Yeah.
out of Clemson. He's going to Philadelphia. That's a great story, but I think he's also a good player, and I think he didn't go into the fifth round. It just depends on where they land on the board, and the Panthers felt like they could go best player available, and at 72, they didn't trade back up after trading back down with the Jets, so maybe that was the best player on their board, and you can't necessarily be too against it, knowing that down the line next year, Shaq Thompson's not going to be in Carolina. This is his last year. So you got a year to develop your successor to Shaq and see what he can do in 2025. It's not my favorite pick. The Sanders pick, though, in the fourth round, I did like that a lot, knowing that they neglected or maybe just failed to bring in a tight end during free agency.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast. And I said this on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that it's funny, we have so many draft experts on TV, and everybody does a mock draft. And everybody we talked to Jordan Reed, who played football at NC Central. He's with ESPN. I talked to Ryan Wilson of CBS all the time. These guys all have, they evaluate players, and they're all good at it. This is not a knock on any of them. But I guarantee that every single team has a completely different view of who the best players are, maybe beyond the first couple, but who the best players are. Like, somebody who's number three on Dan Morgan's list of linebackers might be number 23 on Jordan Reed's list of linebackers. It's just vastly different. It's, I don't know what to make of that, but we just know that it's going to be different. So we all judge based on what, you know, who we believe in and what they rank, how they rank the players. Whereas every team's got a different list. So, obviously, they think Trevin Wallace is a better player than Peyton Wilson. I can't argue with it. And I'm not even going to lie and say that I watched Trevin Wallace play, because I didn't. but I watched Peyton Wilson play.
Yeah, a lot.
And that guy is a baller. I think he's in the perfect spot for him. ACL or no?
We all know that he's going to go to Pittsburgh and ball. If the body holds up, he's going to ball in Pittsburgh. He's going to be the quintessential Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker. And that's part of the thing that maybe makes you sick as a Panther fan. And I was like, damn, he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and we know he's going to do his thing, and he could have done that here, maybe.
Mike, yeah, maybe. Julian Council, I appreciate your time, man. So you didn't even give it a grade, did you?
I gave it a B, I believe. I think I gave it a B minus yesterday.
That's what I did.
With these draft grades, Adam, you got to be positive. But you can't be too positive because you don't want to look to be too exuberant and kind of look like a fool. But also, you don't want to be too negative because then you don't want to rain on the hope of the fans. And that's what the draft really is about hope. And I think there's plenty of things to be excited about. Three of the first four picks they took are offensive weapons.
Yes.
Hopefully that will work out. We'll find out in about 3 years' time whether this is a good draft or not, though.
That is true. Jonathan Brooks has to be the day one starter. Hopefully he's in full recovery. Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, at Julian Council on Twitter. Thank you very much, my man.
All right. Keep pounding.
Oh, God. Thank you. I'll try. I'll do the best I can. I can't promise anything. Julian is the best. All right. See, he's right. It's one of the reasons I love bringing Julian on is like Gold, we can't rate drafts.
Yeah, but rating just on the needs, whether they check the boxes, you could do that.
And everyone, why I gave it the B minus.
Exactly. Everyone should be open-minded because we do not know what's going to happen. But you can at least say, yeah, they checked off like three of the four boxes or two of the four boxes.
Yeah, but I don't know. To me, in order, wide receiver, cornerback, offensive line, wide receiver again. Defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that I thought was important to find somebody. I know they addressed some of that through free agency, but the free agency, those are temporary fills. Almost every free agent you sign is temporary. Those guys aren't going to be around for a long time. So you need to draft the successor to the guys you bring in. And that, by the way, goes on the offensive line, too.
Yeah.
You need to draft the replacements for those guys. And, I get trading from 33 to 32. I get it. The fifth-year option is what you want. Now you control Xavier Leggett for an additional year. And if he's as good as he's supposed to be, as they think he's going to be, then that contract should be gotten to after year three, right? So it encompasses year four, fifth year option. It all folds into one contract, and it lowers the cap hit. All smart. That's smart business, right? I get that. Trading out of 39?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, remember I said that if you can get a number one, a first round pick, you definitely do it. I was more talking about number 33. Trading out of 39, you're probably not getting a first round pick the following year. But you got a second, I get it. I don't get trading back up to get a running back. That's the weird thing for me. When I didn't even list running back as a need.
No.
To me, it's a luxury at that point. And again, I'm not saying you don't draft a running back, but at number trading up to number 46 with a center still there or other wide receivers still there, you went for a position that is not necessarily one of need. Again, best player available, but do you trade up to get that guy? I just thought that there were some issues, some areas they needed to address. And if it's about value of the draft and you don't think the value meets the need, well, then that's where you trade back and acquire more picks. And they sort of did that, but then they traded up. Boy, that's I'm not a fan of that. I'm just not. I was just not a fan of the way they got to that. And because of it, the draft in and of itself left me a little bit flat. Like, they could have been better. They could have addressed areas of real need. They still don't have a corner opposite J.C. Horn. And unfortunately, and I know why they picked up the 50-year option, because he obviously is talented. But if I were them, I'm not sure I would have.
Yeah.
He has been unavailable to them. It's really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you evaluate J.C. Horn.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
So if you don't pick it up, you can always sign him. You don't have to pick up the fifth-year option. You can decline it. Or maybe what they'll do is, since they've picked it up, is they'll figure out like something a little bit longer term if they want to. But again, because of his unavailability, I don't know why you would.
Yeah.
Which makes the fifth-year option to me somewhat of a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing just seems a little bit odd.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.